This is another edition of the More Abundant Life radio broadcast. My name is Adrian Westney Jr. It's my privilege to welcome you to our program today. As we enjoy the sights and sounds of this season, and as we enjoy time with family and friends, we must not forget the real reason for this season. You're going to hear more about this in the message that we have chosen to broadcast on our program today. So I invite you to stay tuned. I'm sure that you're going to receive a rich, rich blessing from this message. First, though, we have some music for you. Here is a special song for this season. It's a well-known carol entitled Joy to the World by Wintley Phipps.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods rock. And plains repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy.
That's music by Wintley Phipps, Joy to the World, and that's from the CD release entitled Songs of Christmas by Wintley Phipps. You are listening to the More Abundant Life radio broadcast. We are now ready to start the spoken word, the message for this program. When God shows up, here's the message as Pastor Phipps presented it to the Seabrook Church.
You have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Galatians chapter 4. Book of Galatians, chapter 4, begin reading verse 3. The Bible says, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. My message this morning, when God shows up, when God shows up. Usually when children think of Christmas, they think presents first, Jesus second. We the adults are just as bad. When we think of Christmas, we think expensive first and Jesus second. We think of crowded malls. Have you tried to get around lately? We think of congested freeways. Friends, with every passing year, Jesus gets increasingly crowded out of Christmas. But today we come to celebrate the birth of Jesus of Nazareth. We celebrate the breaking in of the divine presence into history. We celebrate that God came to earth in the flesh, himself. He did not send a representative. He did not send a surrogate savior. He came himself. We celebrate that when Adam faltered, Jesus faced squarely the urgency of the hour, and he came in the flesh to save mankind. And now that shining star that shone its light above the manger, that blessed night, it still shines in our hearts today. I love so many things about this time of year. Perhaps the thing I love the most, however, is the music of Christmas. It carries wafting in the polluted atmosphere of earth a heavenly fragrance. There's something about the music. This time of year, the songs renew our hope and enrich our faith. Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing above the plain. Oh, how sweet the music of Christmas. But we sing because we understand that Christmas is about a king born in a manger. Christmas is about the Prince of Peace arriving on the wings of prophecy. Christmas is about a king who comes to transform the human condition. We sing those words penned by Martin Luther. Ah, dearest Jesus, holy child, make thee a bed soft, undefiled, within my heart that it may be a quiet chamber kept for thee. We sing today not only of shepherds watching flocks on frosty night. We sing not only of stable bear or lowing oxen. We sing not only of wise men trailing distant star with gold and frankincense and myrrh. We sing also of that night when the shining star illuminated the darkness that covered the earth. We sing of the wise men who came across the turbulent kingdoms, wise men, as it were, drunk with hope and vision. One writer said, there is something about the spirit of Christmas. Something in the spirit of it that sweeps it clean of the dust of other days and then hallows it and makes it holy. There is something about the spirit of Christmas that moves the depths of the human soul. Something in the beauty of it that urges us on to higher goals, that compels us to embrace a life more worthy of our faith and destiny. There's something about the Christmas spirit that defies the power of prose or rhyme or poetry to describe it. There is something about the spirit of Christmas that breathes of the time when discord will cease, when men shall hear and heed the call to accept the gracious gift of God, which is peace on earth, goodwill to all men. But we also sing praise to the Father. We sing praise to the Father who stood at heaven's gate bidding farewell to his only begotten Son as he stepped across the stars to find his way to a stable in Bethlehem. During World War II, a little boy and his daddy were driving home on Christmas Eve, and They drove past rows of houses with Christmas decorations, and in the windows there were little stars there. And the little boy said to his daddy, "Daddy, why do some of the people have a star in the window?" His daddy said, "The star means that that family has a son in the war." And as they passed by the last house, suddenly the little boy looked up and caught a sight of the evening star in the sky. "Look, Daddy, look, God must have a son in the war too." Yes, brothers and sisters, God sent a son to earth to enter the war against sin, against guilt, against shame. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. Alongside, he fights with us. We sing praise to the infinite eternal Son who became finite like a baby. The infinite God became an infant. We sing of the eternal Logos, born of a woman, the one who hung worlds in space, now hung upon a woman's bosom. We sing of the one who supported an entire universe, who now is being cradled in Mary's arms. In him, said Paul, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Brothers and sisters, in his human life, Jesus is the image of God and the hope of man. Jesus lived out his human life, experiencing everything, all the pressures, all the temptations, and yes, the debt. He didn't have money. Jesus had to borrow money. You're not listening to me. When it was time to pay taxes. So you all right, amen, he understands. The great preacher Charles Bradford, preaching before an audience one day, said, "I'm so glad I don't have a bionic savior who couldn't feel my pain." He said, "My Jesus didn't have eyes of glass. He had eyes that could weep just like mine. His humanity has become the basis upon which he represents us. There is only one mediator," says Paul, "between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." Now, church, the incarnation is a mystery that it is impossible to fully explain it. But this we believe, that our Lord Jesus had two natures, a divine nature and a human nature. He was fully God and fully man, not part God and part man. Jesus was both fully God and fully man in one person. Jesus had two natures, says the servant of the Lord, the nature of a man and the nature of God. In him, divinity and humanity were combined. Upon his mediatorial work hangs the hope of the perishing world. No one but Christ has ever succeeded in living a perfect life, in living a spotless character. He exhibited a perfect humanity. Only Jesus did that. Adam and Eve had it, but they lost it. And though he was God, he needed, you see, a human nature to die on the cross for the sins of the world. Why? Because God, in his divine nature, cannot die. To die, God, are you with me today? God had to take on human nature because God can't die. Mary, his biological maternal mother, was the mother of his human nature, not the mother of his divine nature. For humanity cannot biologically contribute to the creation of divinity. Are you listening to me today? Mary was blessed. She said, "I'm blessed and highly favored." But she couldn't say she was sinless. Woo! Are you listening to me today? "Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." He was the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person. That's what the Bible says of his divinity. Of his humanity and his human nature, the Bible says he was made in the likeness of man, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. He voluntarily assumed human nature. It was his choice. It was his act. By his consent, the robe of human nature was placed upon him. Oh, but he did not appear as God. He veiled the demonstrations of deity. The part of him that made angels bow down, he clothed it. He draped it in humanity so he could walk among men. He walked the earth as a man for your sake. He laid aside his glory and majesty. He was God, but the glories of the form of God, the servant of God says, he relinquished them for a while. Ooh, at his word, legions of angels would surround their Redeemer. But when he walked the earth, he walked it unrecognized. My God. Praise his holy name for what he did for us. As a member of the human family, he was mortal, but as God, he was the fountain of life. And I praise him today. In Jesus, divine omnipotence moved in a human arm. See, the Bible talks about the arm of God. And in Jesus, omnipotence moved in a human arm. Amen. In Jesus, divine wisdom was cradled in a human brain. In Jesus, divine love throbbed in a human heart. In Jesus, divine compassion glistened in a human eye. In Jesus, divine grace poured from human lips. In Jesus. Praise his holy name. The birth of Jesus was to teach us many great spiritual truths, and a truth that we are often slow to learn and prone to forget, that in ourselves, we are incapable of doing any good thing. But that which we cannot do will be wrought, says the servant of the Lord, by the power of God in every submissive, believing soul. So Christmas reminds us that he who is the omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent one, someone said, anything omni, he is. All right. All right. Amen. Amen. He is anything omni, he is. He is the supreme personality in the universe, and he wants to live and dwell with you and with me. And you know, that is really amazing. That God wants to dwell not only with those in high society, not only with those who are rich and famous, but God has chosen to tabernacle among common men and women, ordinary men and women. And even more amazing, it was his idea. Normally, people who are high up don't think about coming down low. It's the people who are down low are wondering, how can they get up? Are you with me today? But it was all his idea. The yearning for our fellowship found its beginnings, its genesis in the heart of God. The manger, the angelic host, the wise men from the east, all these are expressions of the desire in the heart of God to know us better. To love us more. You know, most people imagine God as an old, disinterested cleric whose standards are too high, whose requirements are too exacting. But his name is Emmanuel. And it says, in spite of who we are, God has made the choice to be with us. Because of Christmas, we now know that God knows what it is like to be human. Amen. Because of Christmas, we know that God knows what it's like to be rejected, to be betrayed, to know grief and sorrow. Think about it. You couldn't blame God if he didn't want to be with us. Sometimes we don't want to be with ourselves. You couldn't blame God if he sat on his throne and said, no. We don't even want to be with us. We are too selfish. We are too petty. We're unforgiving. We're stubborn. We don't even want to be with us. And wait a minute, that's how we treat those we love. So you couldn't blame God if he sat on his throne and said, no, I'm not going there. Sometimes it seems that we are more trouble than we're worth. But Christmas reminds us that God didn't think so. Amen. God didn't think that we were more trouble than we were worth. So Jesus came into the world completely aware of what he was getting into. He knew sinners intimately. He knows the real you, brother. Sister, he's got your number. All our pride and confusion are known to him completely. Christmas is God's way of reminding us that he can and will do great things for us. Romans 8:31, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Christmas says God is for you, man. Amen? Yeah. Romans 8:32, Christmas tells us that he spared not his own son. Come on, turn to your Bibles and read it with me this morning. Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 31. Christmas says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Christmas says, verse 32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Amen. Christmas says that if he gave you his son, he will give you all things. Oh, we just think of gifts and we think of presents, but he's going to give us all things. I'm going to tell a little story about my youngest son. I'm sure he won't mind this morning. He said to me, Dad, it's Christmas. I said, yeah. He said, remember that $200 that you promised me? I said, $200? I promised you? Yeah, Daddy, remember when we were supposed to go to Universal Studios and we went somewhere else and you said the money we would have paid, you're going to... I said, son, I don't remember that. He said, but ask Winston. Winston remembers. Winston believes me. I said, he said, ask Mommy. Mommy believes me. Daddy, I even believe myself. We think of Christmas and we think of things and what we can get, but oh, thank God, he that spared not his son will freely give us all things. But most of all today, as you celebrate this Christmas, Christmas is about God showing up in the nick of time. The reason I love the Christmas story is that it's really about God showing up in the nick of time, offering hope to fallen man. And when God shows up, everything changes. Sorrow turns to joy. Failure turns to success. He said in Isaiah, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. When God shows up, sorrow turns to joy, failure turns to success. Christmas is about God showing up in the nick of time. For when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son. When God shows up, frustration is turned to fulfillment. Dreams become reality. Somewhere I read, delight thyself also in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way unto him. Trust in him, and he shall bring it to pass. When God shows up, dark clouds roll away. Midnight turns to day. He said, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I shall deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. When God shows up, widows get their barrels filled with oil. When God shows up, manna falls from heaven. When God shows up, the wilderness and the solitary place, the Bible says, shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice. When God shows up, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The desert will sing when God shows up. Even Carmel and Sharon, they shall see the glory of the Lord when God shows up. Are you with me today? Heavy hearts are made light. Lonely hearts are made glad. Troubled souls find peace when God shows up to fearful men. Christmas says, fear not. God is not against you. He is for you in your loneliness, in your depression, in your deep sorrow. God is with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. God loves you with an everlasting love, with loving kindness. He is reaching down to you. That's what Christmas says. God showing up on time. Praise his holy name. Oh, before I close, in late century Poland, 18th century Poland, the Kaiser's forces were burning all the Jewish villages. One village had been burned, nothing was left. And as the sun came up, the next morning, an old Jewish man pounded a few boards together and he made a little stall that you could use to sell from. He had nothing to sell, but he opened for business anyway. A young man walked past. He looked at that empty stall in disbelief. And he said, what are you selling among these ruins? The man smiled and said, I'm selling hope. Hope. He said, if you can sell water on a dry desert, I can sell hope on the ash heap of destruction. Oh, the reason that I love the Christmas story is that in the midst of our ruin, in the midst of a dark, evil, confused world, God placed a manger and filled it with hope. Hope. When God shows up, he fills your life.
Well, that brings us to the end of our message for today and to the end of our program for today. If you would like to obtain an audio copy of today's message, When God Shows Up, please call the Seabrook Church at 301-577-6342. You'll want to ask for program number 234 today. That's program number 234. And until next time, this is Adrian Westney, and not only am I wishing you God's richest blessings for this week, but the best for this season for you and yours. Please join us again for another program. Remember the words written in John chapter 10, verse 10, where Jesus said, I came that you might have life, and that life might be the more abundant life.
What's in your heart?